Hello everybody, I'm back with another video in the series defending the new IFB against the slanderous attacks by many adversaries. So in this video, I want to talk about the subject of hard preaching and cussing behind the pulpit, which is something that people will accuse new IFB pastors like my own pastor, Pastor Steven Anderson, of doing. They'll call him the cussing preacher, etc., and accuse him of using foul language behind the pulpit. Or other things include calling out people by name, calling people insults, using strong language. But I'm going to show you in this video that there are many verses in the Bible which show us that this is how preachers in the past did this. This is what Jesus did. This is what the apostles did. This is what the prophets of the Old Testament did. They preached hard. They preached using strong language. They insulted people. They rebuked people. They used words that people today might think are bad words, but you'll never find anywhere in the Bible where it says that they're a bad word, right? This whole idea of cussing is never found in the Bible. You'll never find that word in the Bible. I don't even know where this idea of cussing comes from because it's not a biblical thing. Now, I'll give you this. The Bible does say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So I do believe that there are certain things that we shouldn't talk about. It defines this as filthy communication and jesting. So talking about things which are filthy, according to the Bible, you know, we should not go into detail about wicked things, etc. And obviously, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't like curse our brethren in James chapter 3. So, of course, there is a limit on things that we should or shouldn't say. We shouldn't curse our father or mother either, or curse God or blaspheme God. Obviously, not take the name of the Lord in vain. But oftentimes when people accuse Pastor Anderson and other new IFB pastors of cussing behind the pulpit or using bad words or bad language, oftentimes it's words that are literally in the Bible. And they're not bad words because they're biblical words. They're God's words. And I'm going to give a few examples. So the word bastard is not a bad word. It's used in the Bible 3 times. The word whore, 65 times in the Bible. Piss, 8 times in the Bible. Ass, 35 times. Obviously, people use that wrong nowadays, but in of itself, it just means a donkey. It's not a bad word. Hell, obviously, is not a bad word. It's a real place. It's used 55 times in the Bible. And damn, or damnation, is used 15 times in the Bible. So these are words which today, if you speak them in public, people will accuse you of using foul language or saying bad words, because that's what the world says. But as Christians, we shouldn't get our beliefs on what's right and wrong from the world. We should get it from the Bible. So these words that I just said, bastard, whore, piss, ass, hell, and damn, these are words which are literally in the Bible. And the Bible says, let any man speak. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. So to say somebody is wrong for using these words is to base your morality on the world and not on the word of God, right? So I want to read some verses that use these words, some of these words, just a few examples, just to show you that these are things which God has said. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, for example, says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to this 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And a bastard means an illegitimate son, a son who was born out of wedlock. Okay, according to the Bible, that is a bastard, and the bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 10, therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jerusalem, as a man taketh away dung, till it all be gone. So this is, of course, God speaking through his prophets about what's going to happen to Jeroboam. He's going to cut off him that pisseth against the wall. And this is a phrase which is used several times in the Bible. So to say that piss is a bad word is saying that God's words are bad words, and that's blasphemy. Leviticus 19, verse 29, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Now, again, people view this as a strong word nowadays, and they take it as an insult when you say whore. And it should be an insult because it's a wicked, abominable thing in the sight of God to be a whore. And so, yes, it has strong language, it has a strong connotation, but it is what God spoke. And that's what he says fornicators are. He says they're whores. So if you don't like that, then you don't like the word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in them. So according to the Bible, every word of God, that includes the times when he says hell and damnation and piss and bastard and whore, all these times that God says these words, according to the Bible, these words are pure words. So if you say they're bad words, you're basically saying that either they're not the word of God, or you're accusing God of saying something that's not pure, even though God is without sin. So again, it's blasphemy to say that using these words based on the Bible is somehow bad. And the Bible also tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. But today, people want to hide the verses which are offensive because they don't want to offend anybody, because the world views these things as bad or offensive subjects. But we as Christians should realize that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay, they're the words of God, and we shouldn't hide certain scriptures just because certain people won't like them or because the world views them as bad words. Okay, it's not cussing, whatever that means. You can't find that concept in the Bible if you just say these words which are biblical. Okay, so that's something that I want to make very clear. These words that I just listed are biblical words. And if you don't like it, then too bad, it's in the Bible. Another thing that the new IFB will be attacked for is, you know, people saying that you don't have a Christ-like spirit for insulting false prophets and wicked people, even though this is literally what Jesus Christ himself did. And I'm going to show you a few examples of this. In Matthew chapter 23, he rebukes the Pharisees and he literally insults them and makes rude comments about them and calls them names. Yet the pastors and the new IFB movement will do the same thing for false prophets. And people are like, oh, you're not Christ-like, you're mean-spirited. Where in the Bible does it say not to do these things? You can't find a verse that commands us not to do this. In fact, I'll show you that Jesus Christ himself did these things. Matthew 23, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye that are entering to go in. Matthew 23, verse 15 to 19. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? And then a little bit further down the chapter in verse 33, he says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? So when Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees, he uses very strong language. He calls them hypocrites. He calls them children of hell. He calls them blind guides. He calls them fools and blind. He calls them serpents. He calls them vipers. So then a new IFE pastor gets up and does the same thing, and people say, you're not Christ-like. How is it not Christ-like when it's literally the same thing that Christ did? He literally called people fools and hypocrites and blind. He called them serpents. He called them children of hell. And he also said that, you know, how shall they escape the damnation of hell? And then we say, hey, so-and-so, the false prophet's going to hell. And they're like, well, who are you to judge? You're not God. You can't judge. Well, according to the Bible, false prophets are going to hell. So you're right. We can't judge. We can't make that decision on our own, but the Bible makes the decision for us. And the Bible's the word of God. So the Bible says false prophets are, their damnation slumbereth not in 2 Peter chapter 2. So if a false prophet, if we're calling out a false prophet and rebuking them, which is what the Bible says to do, then yes, we have the authority to say they're going to hell because that's what the Bible says. And again, if you don't like that, then you're not disagreeing with us. You're disagreeing with the Bible because the Bible says false prophets go to hell. Now, also, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, did the same thing to the false prophet Elymas the sorcerer in Acts chapter 13, verses 9 to 10. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all unrighteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So Paul, according to the Bible, was filled with the Holy Spirit when he said this, when he called this man a child of the devil, and he called him an enemy of all unrighteousness. And then again, we do the same thing. We call people children of the devil. We say people are enemies. We say that people are wicked. We call people fools. And they're like, well, you're not Christ-like. Well, that's what Christ did, and that's what the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, did when he was filled with the Spirit of God. So who's really filled with the Spirit? Those who are calling out false prophets or those who are compromising with false prophets? It's not really that hard to figure out when you actually know the scriptures. So people will attack us for using names and insulting false prophets. You don't know the Bible, okay? Now, another thing that people will attack us for is when we name the names, right? They're like, oh, well, why do you have to, you know, call out these false prophets by name? People like Billy Graham and Joel Osteen and other famous people, obviously, you know, John MacArthur, whoever. Why do you have to name them by name? Why can't you just, you know, be secret and not be, you know, open about who it is that you're talking about? Why can't you just kind of mention them but not name who they are? Well, because again, in the Bible, when Paul, writing the scriptures filled with the Holy Spirit of God, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God, he also called people out by name. Here's a few examples. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. 2 Timothy 1, 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. 2 Timothy 2, verse 17 to 18, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. So he calls these people out and he says what it is that they did, right? Titus 1, verse 12 to 13. Out of themselves, even a prophet of their, or sorry, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. So this commandment, which Paul gives to Titus, who was an elder in the Isle of Crete, was to rebuke these false prophets sharply, right? So again, this is something that Christians should be doing, rebuking false doctrine, rebuking false prophets. And as Paul did, he actually named the names. He said, these people, you know, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they have overthrown the faith of some. They have said that the resurrection is past already. That's false. These people need to be called out. So we do the same thing. How many other Christians and how many other preachers are doing that today? Not many, right? So the new IFB does, and everybody attacks us and says, you're not Christ-like. Well, this is literally what the people in the Bible did. So we're just doing the same thing because we have the same spirit. Another thing is just the hard preaching, right? The preaching which is, again, deemed as offensive, not just using the words and naming the names and rebuking false prophets, but even just saying things which people just might not like to hear. Just, for example, imprecatory prayers and imprecatory psalms. These are things that are in the Bible, and it doesn't matter if you don't like it. It's in the Bible, okay? If you're a Christian, you claim to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, how can you say that this is wrong to say these things? Because there's literally psalms where David, speaking by the Holy Spirit, pronounced judgment and curses upon wicked people. Okay, I'm going to read a few of these. But before I get to the Psalms, I want to just read some other scriptures, which again might be deemed as offensive, but these are things that the prophet of God said. One example I like is Amos chapter 7. You know, after Amos is told to not preach anymore and to basically shut up, he says, in verse 16, now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. And another example that kind of reminds me of this is in 1 Kings, I think it's Ahijah the Shilonite, when Jeroboam's wife comes to him, you know, he rebukes him sharply and he pronounces, I think I actually read it earlier in 1 Kings chapter 14, talking about Jeroboam's children dying. I think it's the same passage or somewhere around then, when Ahijah the Shilonite basically says, hey, your whole family is going to be killed because you've turned against God, right? I'm paraphrasing. That's basically what he preached, right? So this negative message that the prophets preach, we preach the same thing. We preach, if you disobey God, you're going to be judged by God, and God is going to destroy our nation, and he's going to bring judgment, and he's going to destroy wicked people who will try to stop the word of God. Okay. But then these people who are, you know, have this fake love, who pretend like they love everybody and they don't, they'll come at us and they'll say, well, you know, you're just supposed to love them and, you know, not say anything bad about people. And it's supposed to be positive and never negative. Yet most of the preachers in the Bible, if you actually read it, which these people don't, are negative, right? Here's another example of something very negative that the prophet Malachi preached. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already, because ye did not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. So this is something that Pastor Anderson himself has preached before, and people have, you know, attacked him for it when it's literally in the Bible. God said he's going to spread dung on the faces of these wicked people, right? So that's hard preaching, right? That's a curse. That's God saying he's going to do these things to these people. He's going to destroy them, right? And just off the top of my head, I again didn't write this down, but in Malachi chapter 4 also, just a few chapters later, God says, you know, the wicked shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day of the Lord of hosts, paraphrasing. But again, pronouncement of judgment upon wicked people. Doesn't sound like God has any patience for wicked people. Psalm 58, verses 6 to 10. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So this is something that I know my pastor has preached in the past. In 2009, he got a lot of attacks from the media and from the world for saying this about Barack Obama, this wicked reprobate who used to be our president, who loves murdering unborn babies. And Pastor Anderson preached in the house of God from the book of Psalms, from the word of God, that he should melt as a snail and as the untimely birth of a woman. That's what he said, and that's what he prayed unto God, and people attacked him for that when it's literally in the Bible. Again, how can you say you're a Christian? How can you say you believe the Bible and then choose which parts you like and which parts you don't like when it literally says, this is literally a prayer that David is giving, filled with the Spirit of God, saying, break their teeth, O God, saying, let them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman. Let them melt like a snail, right? Psalm 69, another scripture, which is considered an imprecatory psalm, and it's actually quoted in the New Testament, and I'll get to that quote later, but in Psalm 69, verses 22 to 28, the Bible says, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. This is pretty harsh. He's saying, destroy them, let them go into hell. Blot their name out of the book of life. That's pretty harsh, right? Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Peter says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. So according to Peter, these words that David spoke, they were spoken by the Holy Ghost. Now in Acts chapter 1, verse 20, it gives the quotes. It says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now this second quote is from Psalm 109. The Bible says in Psalm 109, verse 8, let his days be few and another let another take his office. That's the quote in Acts chapter 1. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. So these are pronouncing curses upon people and judgment upon people. And according to the Apostle Peter, these words were spoken by the Holy Ghost through the mouth of David. Because, again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the book of Psalms is not the opinion of David. It's the words of God that existed before the world began. And if you don't believe that, you're not even a Christian. But if you're a Christian, you claim to believe that the Bible is true, then you have to believe these verses also, that the Holy Ghost said that, you know, let him go quick down into hell and, you know, let their names be blotted out of the book of the living and let their name be blotted out in the generation following and let another man take his office and let his children be fatherless, his wife a widow, basically saying, let this guy die, right? Because what does that mean? Let his children be fatherless, his wife a widow. That means the husband of the wife is going to die and the father of children is going to die. So what is he saying? He's saying, let them die. Let these workers of iniquity die. Okay. And the Bible says that's how it was for Judas. This is a prophecy of Judas, but also anybody else like Judas, just workers of iniquity, infiltrators. We should pray for them to die. And if you don't like that, you don't like the Bible. So we do that and people attack us for it, but it's literally biblical. So hard preaching, you know, things that people don't like, things that are offensive, it's biblical. It doesn't matter. It's negative. It doesn't matter. A lot of things in the Bible are negative. Now, another thing that people will attack us for is saying that we're, you know, we're so judgmental and we're judging others, right? Which there's no scripture in the Bible which teaches that we should never judge ever, okay? They just take two words in the beginning of Matthew 7, which says, judge not, and then they just ignore the rest of that verse and the rest of the five verses after that. It explains what Jesus means. Judge not is not a complete sentence, okay? Jesus never said, just judge not. He said, judge not, and then he said other things after that. I'm going to read in a second what he actually said, teaching that you should not judge hypocritically, meaning you shouldn't judge somebody when you're guilty of something worse, right? And that's exactly, it's funny, because that's exactly what these sodomites and wicked people who hate us do, right? They're literally excusing the worst kind of abominations in the sight of God, and then they're calling us out for judging. So what are they doing? They're actually judging themselves, right? Because by coming to us and saying, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge, you're wrong for judging, you're judging us by saying that. Isn't that ironic, right? And then they're the ones that are guilty of abominations, and yet they're accusing us of committing sin when they're doing what's worse. So they're actually the ones who are disobeying the scripture. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 5, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, notice what Jesus says. He talks about you saying to your brother, you have a mote in your eye when you have a beam in your own eye. What does that mean? It means you're calling out somebody for having a sin when you have a worse sin. Now, Jesus did not say, remove the sin from yourself and then just leave your brother alone. He said, cast out the beam first out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. So he doesn't say, don't cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. He just says, do it to yourself first, right? So if you have the worst sin, you have to repent first, and then you can clear, you know, you can clear out your brother's eye. So it doesn't say never judge. Jesus says in other places, you know, in John 7:24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So that's what Jesus literally says to do. And then there's other scriptures which show us that people who are spiritual actually are judgmental. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So these people who are like, oh, well, you're so judgmental and you're judging all the time, you know, well, according to the Bible, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So if I'm judgmental, then I'm spiritual according to the Bible, right? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And this is another thing. They're like, well, who are you to judge? You're not God. You can't make that decision. Well, we have the mind of Christ according to the Bible, because we have his words in a book called the Bible, and we have his spirit in our heart. So yes, we are able to make that judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 to 4. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. So it's literally a command to set people in the church to judge things in the church. And yet people will say, oh, you're so judgmental, you shouldn't judge anybody. Where are you getting that from? The Bible never says don't judge anybody in any context ever. That's, first of all, that's literally impossible, because every time you ever make a decision about somebody, you're judging them. That's what judging means. But number two, the Bible literally says to set people in the church to judge, and he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and one day will judge the world. So sounds like judging is a good thing, right? And only people who are ignorant of the Bible disagree with this. So a preacher should preach the word of God, right? I mentioned earlier, I think it's in 1 Peter, where it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, meaning let him speak as the Bible speaks, right? But today, so many preachers, even preachers who are saved and who claim to believe the Bible, they'll speak things according to what the world says, right? So they'll talk about, oh, we shouldn't cuss and we shouldn't say bastard and these offensive words behind the pulpit. And, you know, we shouldn't call out people and we should never be mean. We should never insult people. And we should just be always loving. And what they mean by loving is not the Bible's definition of loving. I'll get to that in a later video. But the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time shall come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And this is exactly what's going on today, that people don't like the new IFB because they have itching ears, and so they're heaping to themselves people who will tell them what they want to hear, right? Versus the new IFB is actually preaching every word of God, preaching the things that even are offensive to people, preaching the imprecatory psalms and the imprecatory prayers, preaching the pronouncements of judgment against those who are sinners, preaching the laws of God, which teach the death penalty. I'll get that in a future video. Preaching the verses that talk about hatred, which I'll also talk about that in another video. Preaching the verses about Jesus calling people fools and serpents and vipers. Preaching all these verses, and then people don't like it. But that is a commandment to preachers of the word of God, that they should preach the word, right? These are not our own words when we're calling people fools and bastards and whores and things like that. These are biblical words. And if you don't like it, then, you know, who are you disagreeing with? Are you disagreeing with us or the Bible? Because I just showed you that this is a biblical thing to do. This is what the prophets of God did in the Old Testament. And there's many other examples. I could sit here all day and read scriptures that are negative and that are offensive, and where preachers of the word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, called people out and rebuked them and pronounced judgment on them and called them names and said that they're going to die and prayed for their death and did not pray on behalf of people. These are all biblical things. And yet people will attack us because they think that being Christ-like just means loving everybody and excusing sin, but it's not. Being Christ-like, having the mind of Christ, means you judge sin, means you hate sin, means you hate evil, and you rebuke evil. This is the way that preachers of God's word should be. And if you don't like it, too bad. We're right and you're wrong. So in the upcoming videos, I do want to talk more about this doctrine of the reprobate doctrine, because this is something that kind of is tied in with this of hard preaching and the fact that God hates people and just other things that people don't like, which have to do with preaching the word of God. So I'm going to go into this in a few other videos in the future. And also, I just thought of one more point, right, that I didn't even mention, but it's important to mention this, that in the New Testament, it is commanded in Ephesians chapter 5 and in Colossians chapter 3 to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And the Bible says if you do that, you'll be filled with the Spirit, right? So again, another reason why we should be reading and also singing Psalm 58, Psalm 69, Psalm 109, Psalm 139, which I didn't mention, but I'll mention in a future video. These negative psalms, according to the Bible, we should sing psalms. So somebody who avoids these scriptures and never touches these scriptures, they're disobeying the Bible. Not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament, right? They're like, oh, that's Old Testament. You know, that doesn't apply. Well, first of all, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. So if he meant this about wicked people in the Old Testament, he feels the same way in the New Testament. Read the book of Revelation, okay? In the future, God's going to pour out his wrath more than any other time ever in history, right? But God has not changed his view on wicked people and workers of iniquity, okay? And the New Testament literally commands us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we're doing that by singing psalms like, you know, the Lord shall rain fire upon the wicked in Psalm 11, etc. That's what a psalm we actually sing in our church. But people think that's bad for some reason, when it's, again, literally scriptures. It's literally the Holy Spirit. It's literally, it's the truth. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's offensive to your ears or not. It's the Bible. And if you're a Christian, you should believe the Bible. So again, we're right, you're wrong. Sing the Psalms. Stop denying the word of God. Stop being against hard preaching when it's literally the way that everybody preached in the Bible. So thank you, buddy, for watching. God bless you and goodbye.